Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it on the YouTube if you want to always get your new Going In Raw content. And if you're on any of the wonderful podcast apps listening to the show, leave us a rating or a review.
Yes,
it's
please.
A great way.
Including Spotify. We're on Spotify now.
Finally, the road to Spotify is complete. We are there. Very exciting days. We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where 54 wonderful patrons are watching this podcast as a live stream as we record it. We just got done with our pre-show. We're going to have a lovely post-show after it. You got to sign these.
When we get to the show, we'll
just
sign.
Just sign them now.
Let's, when we get to the show.
I got a couple of cards here for Zach Stolpa, one of our great friendos who won chat trivia like ages ago. That's the thing we do for patrons only after our Wednesday episode.
Yeah,
going
today's
in
Tuesday,
raw.
Though.
Today is Tuesday, but I want to get these sent off.
Yes, I'll do it. Let's finish the show.
It's taken me forever to do this. Anyways, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/going in raw.
We'll talk
what
about
do you
it
got?
Later.
What do you got? Oh, my goodness. You got yours on, too. I have, well, look at this right here. A breakdown of his Hall of Fame video. I don't take notes very often,
you
but
hardly
I did.
Take notes.
I did just for this.
How many times did he say, damn, I'm good during that?
It's literally
segment.
A shot. I can find out. We'll talk when we get there.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Jeff Jarrett going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Our apologies for not doing a video yesterday. It's a holiday, usually like on kind of like the non-major holidays.
The federal holidays here in America.
We'll still work, but yesterday we just didn't.
Yeah, I feel like we just start not doing the federal holidays.
Okay, usually.
I mean, sometimes we've done an Ask Steven Larson beforehand.
Yeah. And I think that's fine if we can get something done in advance.
If we can do that, great. Well, once we get to the office, which we're on the road to Office Space, we're counting down the days now. We are about 10 days, less than that.
Yeah.
9 days, I think, away from hopefully
getting internet.
The construction actually going down at the Office Space.
Yes, and once that happens, then we can actually fully move in.
You got the backdrop. I've ordered the sign.
Yeah.
Our new Going In Raw sign. We're going to have a new logo or kind of rebranding stuff.
A little bit, yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
I got some more acoustic tiles put on the floor.
I am less and less enamored with this office because we're so close to new office.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't really like coming in here anymore. A lot of it has to do with my office chair.
You spend all that money on that office chair and you don't use it.
Well, I took it to the new office.
Oh, good.
But even there, I don't like it. It's too ergonomically sound.
Yeah.
And it's not comfortable enough. I'm fine if my back takes a bit of a thrashing if I get comfort.
Okay.
But I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, my back feels great, but I really don't want to be here right now.
Yeah.
It's not conducive to working.
It supports the back, but it makes the rest of you uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Anyways, our apologies. We'll at least give you more of a heads up in the future. We're not going to have our usually scheduled content up.
Yeah, it'd be good to know like the
in advance.
We
as
can just tell
the day
them.
Of.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing: we put out a lot of content.
Yeah,
we do a very good job with that.
Yeah, like
we're very prolific.
Yeah,
and federal holidays, I think we can spend with our families.
Oh, I agree.
Okay, good. I like that.
I got to go to Sutter's Fort yesterday, the first time in like 25 years.
Of course, the location where Bill Sutter took on a bunch of landing aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this will be all detailed and truth exposed. Our new
yes, or I'm sure they did an episode of Ancient Aliens on it.
Yeah, that guy's amazing. Anyways,
he's got some pretty interesting hair.
I know exactly when you're talking so much weird shit and all people can focus on is your hair. You know your hair is very strange.
Yeah.
Because he says the weirdest crap.
But all I'm looking at is his hair.
What credentials does that guy have?
I have no idea.
Is he like a teacher? He's probably like a teacher somewhere.
Maybe.
That's weird. Like that guy, A, has like is credentialed to do anything.
Well, depending on the school.
He knows it's all crap, right?
Yeah.
Like, at what point did Ancient Aliens, the show, just say, you know what? We're not going to get anybody that's really that's legit.
It kind of feels like a show that jumped the shark from like the pilot.
Exactly. Anyways, and yet it's fascinating stuff.
Well, the funny thing about that show is that it's each show will start with a kernel of an interesting idea. You know?
Right, exactly.
And then just rampant speculation for the next 30 to 60 minutes.
Well, that's what I want Truth Exposed to be.
Oh, all right. So no research.
No, we have to research. But, I mean, come on. How much research can you really do
Well, let's read the Wikipedia page and that's it.
No, well, that's the extent of the research.
And then an hour of speculation.
Yeah, exactly.
And uninformed connections of dots.
Tomfoolery.
Yes.
Anyways. No, I want to be the definitive voice on conspiracy
theories. Oh, yeah, right. Absolutely. All right.
Anyways, wow. Wowie wow. What a performance from Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
On Raw. Holy.
Top 10 Raw performance ever.
Holy crap. We were trying to scramble together like a count out list for this weekend for that. We might still try to do that.
Yeah, I got six ideas.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
So we need four more.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to Chat about it. Yeah, we'll talk to Chat about it. Chat. Hey, Chat. All 54
post show,
of you.
Post show.
Post show. Let us know what you guys think. Not right now because we're not going to see.
Yeah.
We'll ask you in the post show. Best performances ever on Monday Night Raw itself. Not SmackDown. Monday Night Raw.
Just Monday Night Raw. Think it over. You got about an hour to come up with ideas. Don't send them to us now.
I don't want to hear them now.
Remind you after the show is over. Anyway, let's talk about Raw itself. That's what we're here to do right now.
Yeah, man. Let me bring up some notes.
So the show kicked off with the Gauntlet match. All seven participants of Sunday's Elimination Chamber match going head-to-head Gauntlet style.
Yeah.
Before we actually got any action, we got a riveting Roman Reigns interview.
Yeah.
Man, he had lose face during his interview.
he had roll up lose face.
Yeah,
man.
He seemed like, even during the match, he seemed kind of checked out.
Yeah.
Did you get that? He was setting up for his spear and he was grabbing the ropes, like trying to fire up the crowd.
Yeah. You know, okay.
And there was zero intensity behind it.
You know how I just said like minutes ago, I'm kind of over this Office Space because we're on the road to Office Space. I think he's on the road to WrestleMania. And so he is just cruise control.
Senioritis.
Exactly.
He's like the graduation day.
He's like, all this is just whatever. And then just I'm going to talk to Brock and I'll be with Brock next week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that in a second because Braun Strowman had some pretty strong words too. And it's going to be a letdown if it's not Roman versus Brock, right?
Yeah.
Are we going to get.
Well, I mean, in terms of entertainment factor, no. But in terms of finally culminating the story, yes.
If Braun wins at Elimination Chamber,
yeah,
aren't we all just going to be waiting for the moment on Raw where they pull a swerve and somehow get Roman into that spot?
Yeah, either Braun or Seth Rollins.
Up until the very moment when the entrances are supposed to happen, we're going to be like, where's Roman?
They're going to have an emergency Money in the Bank ladder match.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So Roman can win that.
To open the show.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because it's got to be Roman. But then there's like people on Twitter trying to start this stuff about, oh, well, now there's Truth Exposed conspiracy video proof of Roman Reigns' drug stuff.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see? Oh, you just saw like the speculation also?
No, I watched the actual video.
Oh, what was the actual video?
It was the same guy that was interviewing that we talked about on Dirt Sheet.
Right? Yeah, sure.
Same guy. The video posted yesterday, I guess, was more focused on Josh Duhamel.
Okay.
And the evidence. As far as his interactions with this guy who was arrested.
Yeah.
And they said, John Bravo, the guy who did the video, said next episode he would show evidence of Roman Reigns buying stuff from this guy.
Next episode.
And he was saying stuff like Reigns was buying stuff that wasn't meant for human consumption and stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Wow. Do you think that could explain? So, Roman Reigns gave a very lackluster interview, but, I mean, that's just Roman Reigns. Then we had Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins in a really, really fantastic section of the Gauntlet match.
Yes.
I thought this was really, really good. Seth beat Roman Reigns with the roll-up. He attempted a curb stomp at one point, didn't hit it, or they're just calling it the stomp now, I guess.
Yeah, how come they're not calling it the curb stomp?
I don't want to speculate too far into it.
Or why don't they call it the blackout? That's what it was in the indies.
I wish they would NXT. Call it the blackout, but... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is pure speculation on my part. I have no idea. Whenever I've thought about the curb stomp, I've always thought about American History X, has a really nasty, obvious connotation to it. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was why. But anyway, Seth ended up... Roman tried to get Seth with a roll-up. Seth reversed that into his own roll-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And was able to like put his weight down on Roman.
Yeah.
And he got the pinfall on Roman Reigns.
Yeah, there's a couple my
theory is completely blown out of the water.
There's a couple really good spots in this match. Seth tried to do some top rope thing. Reigns countered with a nasty Superman punch.
Yeah.
Reigns went for a spear and did a really try to get the crowd hyped up with the least amount of intensity possible. Mm-hmm. It seemed like Seth reversed that. A lot of good back and forth, and they established Seth selling some sort of leg ailment early mm-hmm. on. This
yeah,
match.
Yeah,
that would eventually pay off in the third portion of this.
It always, match. Yeah, it always it freaks me out whenever Seth
starts grabbing that leg. I know
starts grabbing the leg, but no, like more specifically when he goes not just that. When he goes up to the top and he does like a flippy thing. And,
oh, the Phoenix Splash lands on his feet.
But it lands on his feet instead. I'm like, oh, God.
I know.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm sure he's totally capable of doing that and being fine, but God, it freaks me out.
Yeah, me too.
And that's not even what he, you know, how he injured his knee in the first place. It still freaks me out.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, so Seth Rollins got the roll up. Roman Reigns looked beside himself, or he looked like.
He looked mildly annoyed.
You got me on this one. You got me on this one. Like, well, it's like, not.
Here we'll talk again on April 8th.
Yeah.
So he has the upper hand that day.
Exactly. He's like, well, I mean, this wasn't really that important a match, so, you know.
He's like, that's cool. To save my energy for Elimination Chamber. That's exactly. The match I'm really booked
you know, away. I mean, that's the funny thing is that there weren't really any stakes involved here.
No, they tried. That's one thing they tried to do in this gauntlet match. They tried to make it seem like there were stakes involved.
Mm-hmm.
When there really wasn't any. They were saying that Rollins was wrestling for momentum, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you wrestle for more than an hour, and exhaust yourself.
Exactly.
The momentum you might have by winning this match would have been almost 2 hours if you had mm-hmm. won. I mean, is that really worth exhausting yourself?
Yeah.
For a shot at the Universal title of Mania?
Probably well, having, not. I mean, I like the way John Cena sold his
yeah.
his loss because Roman Reigns, went like they so when the next guy comes out, when Cena comes out, it was kind of a cool moment. Roman Reigns tried to give Seth Rollins the shield fist yeah. bump thing. And before Seth really had a chance to stand up and process it and do this, Cena's music hits. Roman puts his hand down. Cena comes out. He talks to the camera. He's just awash in green.
Yeah.
Because his shirt, you know, then they do the Tron with all the green.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes out.
As soon as he gets to the ring while he's doing his posing and talking to the crowd, Seth clotheslines him from behind.
Yeah, that was cool. And then tries to go for the pin. Yeah.
That was great.
Roman Reigns saunters out. He gives an interview during the match. So that's what they do. Every time the match continues, whoever just got eliminated, they do an interview backstage, yeah, yeah. picture in picture. And, yeah, he said exactly what he should have said. He said, you know, this didn't really matter. The Elimination Chamber matters.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go and fight Brock Lesnar. So then we had Seth Rollins versus John Cena. Seth Rollins, of course, is already beat up from Roman Reigns.
Yeah, he's selling exhaustion.
Yeah, and he puts on just a magnificent performance. This is one of those things, you know, Chris Jericho is always able to hang his hat on beating Austin and The Rock in same one night. Yeah. And now Rollins can say the same thing about this era's essentially, you know, contemporaries,
yeah.
Roman Reigns and John Cena yeah. in the same night.
Yeah.
A masterful, like this segment especially, Seth Rollins
yeah,
versus
yeah, no,
John
I think
Cena.
This match was really good where Cena was kind of just telling Seth the whole time, just stay down.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay down.
Yeah.
Just take the L, take the loss, get out of here, save something for Elimination Chamber, mm-hmm. and Seth just wouldn't do it.
Seth kicked out of an AA. Seth gave Cena an AA. That was really, really
more
great
or less
moment.
The deadlift variety that Cena does.
Yeah. After already being in the match, and they
like
kept
40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, they kept up, like, you know, telling us, "Oh my God, he's been doing this. He's been doing this." I mean, this was absolutely an inspired way to kick off Raw. This, I mean, two hour gauntlet match.
It was, but also just coming off the heels of last week, Seth saying, "I want to be the guy, the man again."
Right.
The guy is Reigns. Sorry, he wants to be the man again.
Yeah.
He wants to be Monday Night Rollins.
This in one episode accomplished that.
He's essentially a top face on. Well, yeah. Him and Braun are top faces. Here, I'm going to ask you something. We're going to have a problem on Raw here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Mania. There's too many top faces.
Yeah, I know.
Of all the top guys
it's,
on
it's
Raw.
It's so great, though. It's
I know,
such a great
a
problem
great
to have.
Talent.
The top is so, it's so amazing right now.
Of the top guys, the only heel I can think of really definitively is The Miz. Roman face.
Elias.
Yeah, I guess so. He's kind of on the precipice of.
Oh, I don't know. Going up the top I don't know. I think they're going to prolong that as long
no,
as
no,
they possibly
can. No, no. I mean, he
can.
Just hasn't been in the company as long.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
he doesn't carry the weight that everybody else has. That's
no, I agree with that. He's going to be eating pins. I agree with that.
But you have Finn face, Reigns face, Braun face, Seth face. Who am I missing? Say Braun.
Braun, Finn, Roman, John Cena,
Seth,
and Seth.
That's five faces.
Yeah.
And then you have The Miz, and I guess you can add Elias to that.
Yeah.
Somebody over here has got to turn heel.
Yeah, but okay, how many? There, in actuality, I'd say there's actually kind of like three faces. There's Finn, Seth, and Braun. Those are people that the crowd actually loves.
Yes.
Roman and Cena, they're like monster guys. They're like, you know, hugely.
They win.
They win. Kayfabe, they're monsters.
Yeah.
Crowds kind of split on them. You know, they'll always get a reaction of some sort. Yeah. But you can never really guarantee what reaction they're going to get.
In terms of how the company views them.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're totally right. Yeah.
So I'm just thinking something's got to change there. There's too many. Even if you view Cena and Reigns as kind of tweeners,
A couple of them can't. Braun and Seth definitely can't.
Finn can and should.
Finn should go Naito heel.
Yeah.
But then, you solve your problem storyline-wise because then he can cheat.
Yeah.
And that's what you kind of need. I think that's what you're getting at, right? You need a bad guy in your story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the crowd's still going to love him.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't matter.
Yeah, you need bad guys to tell stories.
Exactly.
Right now, they're kind of short on bad guys.
Yeah, I get you. So anyways, yeah.
Cena give Seth one AA, roll through, maintain wrist control in an effort to give him another one. Seth reverses into a revolution knee, then gives him a super kick.
Is that what it's called now?
Yeah.
As of when?
A few weeks back.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
And then gives him a stomp
to
beat Cena.
Yeah, that was crazy. Oh my God, the crowd freaking blew up.
And there's that moment, maybe, I don't know, a third of the way through the match where Seth is just getting beat up. And then Cena kind of does something, and Seth is hulks out, essentially. Gets in his face.
Oh, man.
Great stuff.
It's just an amazing, fantastic performance. It was so good.
Next up, Elias, who storms, sprints to the ring.
He's got the DDP belly tape on.
Yeah, yeah.
And his shoulder's, like, taped up as from the base hit from... literal base hit from Braun Strowman.
He runs to the ring, starts laying into Seth, starts working over the knee that no one else had up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Puts him in a single leg crab, works the knee against the ropes, all that kind of stuff. Cena does an interview and says he made a sympathetic mistake. Is that how he put it?
Yeah, I guess. So there was one moment when Seth was in the corner and Cena off on him and said, come on up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he was referring to, but that was kind of early on in their match.
It's about halfway.
Was it halfway? Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, throughout, instead of, you know, he would knock Seth down rather than just capitalize and get on top of him, drop it right away, he was just kind of, I don't know, not really showing the intensity maybe he should have. I guess that was his point.
And you know what? I'll go back to this because we've said this before, and then somebody tweeted it at us last night at Real Going In Raw. About the ridiculousness of Cena saying, I have no path to WrestleMania. Kudos to Cena for making that his story, though.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it was a creative decision.
Yeah.
But, and it is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, he says, without the Elimination Chamber win, I'm not going to have a path to WrestleMania. I love that he's so invested in that storyline that he continually...
He's all in on it.
...goes to that. I like that.
No,
you know,
it's not terrible.
It's a reason for him... As opposed to Survivor Series. I mean, that's the diamond. That's the exact opposite.
Where he's announced on Twitter and just shows up.
And he just shows up, not in like the same gear as everybody else wearing. Yeah. Like, what team are you even fighting for? He has, look, it might not be the most believable of motivations, but it's what he has, and it's a motivation. So I'm happy that they have that.
And I guess if that's the door they're going to use to get Undertaker involved, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because the Raw after Elimination Chamber, he'll probably show up, Cena that is, say, well, I guess I'm not going to be at Mania. Gong hits, Undertaker comes out.
Yeah.
That's probably how it's going to be. So Elias is working over Seth. Seth comes back. He manages to, I don't know, get another 10 minutes out of Elias before Elias finally hits Drift Away, beats Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
After an hour and 5 minutes, Seth is finally eliminated from this gauntlet match.
And I like that they gave that to Elias. He's a heel. He needs heel
tons of heat.
Yeah.
Next up, Finn Balor, Burgundy Balor.
So
are we going to talk Balor power rankings now?
Have we concluded? So, okay, that's what everybody's talking about.
What?
They ditched Apollo Crews' cruises.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. It rolls up. Literally last week, he said Apollo Crews can't lose.
I know.
What is that? Oh, my gosh. Anyways, because everybody was talking, I was like, why are people bugging about Michael Cole saying Apollo Crews? And then I was like, oh.
Yeah,
somebody in chat here said they got rid of the Crews.
Yeah,
I was like,
just Apollo now.
That's what they're talking about.
Just Apollo.
I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm.
That's so dumb. Oh, man. Apollo's a great name.
Yeah.
But give me the Crews. I know him as Apollo Crews.
I know.
It rolls off the tongue.
It really does.
Anyways,
next, Elias versus Finn Balor. Balor wearing the Burgundy Balor gear.
Yeah, there's no more indication. Power rank. That Burgundy Balor is not better than Gray Balor.
No, it's not. But I dare say it's just a notch below because he lasted almost an hour in the Rumble as Burgundy Balor.
Oh, that's a good point.
And then last night, he lasted about a half hour.
Hold on a second, though. Also, Gray Balor beat Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's not that huge of a feat.
You're right, it isn't.
It's not.
Burgundy Balor's up there. If Burgundy really Balor...
If he's Burgundy Balor at Mania, not the Demon, if he
wins, then that's
Burgundy
it. That's,
Balor's number one.
Oh, then that's for sure. That's confirmed.
He seems like huge match Balor is Burgundy Balor. That seems to be clear
big
as
match,
day.
Big match Balor.
Yeah, it's Burgundy Balor.
It's Wine Balor, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
So
we don't care that he calls it Wine Balor,
no,
right?
I like the alliteration.
The alliteration. Go for alliteration every time.
Well, you know what Burgundy is. Same that it's a wine. That's why they call it Burgundy.
Okay, well, there you go.
In France that makes wine, there's Burgundy style of wine. So I'm essentially saying Wine Balor.
Okay, yeah, but in a fancy pants way.
Alliterative way.
Alliterative.
I like alliteration.
Alliterative. Lois Lane, Clark Kent.
Yeah.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
All great alliterative names.
Yes.
Lex Luthor or Lex Luger. You know who else? Double J.
Jeff Jarrett.
J-A.
J-E. Double F. J-A. Double R. E. Double T.
Double D. Double five, double six, part.
Right, you're taking
burp,
it too far.
Double J.
Taking it too far.
A, double A.
We'll get save all that for your breakdown of the Jeff Jarrett.
A, double five. I'm the greatest. Ain't I great?
Damn, I'm great.
Ain't I great? I have the best breakdown of his.
All right, well, we're not there yet. Hold on.
His 2-minute Hall of Fame video.
Hold on. So Burgundy Balor gets in the ring. We have a Seth Rollins interview.
You know, somebody said on Twitter, man, this the 2-hour gauntlet match means that we're going to get like a super quick Raw recap.
No, we can spend 2 hours talking about this match.
And then we're going to spend another 2 hours talking about Jeff Jarrett's 2-minute video.
Yes, I know. Elias starts working over Finn's arm, but it wasn't the one he hurt. I don't think the scar. I can see the scar in his right arm.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's just wrestling. You work over the left arm.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, Seth Rollins gave an interview during this match.
Seemed exhausted. I just wanted to
give
him.
Yeah, he looks exhausted.
I wanted to give him my hydro.
I hope he gets a couple days off.
I've got a new shark.
Oh, from Monterey.
A shark on my hydro here.
It's a good looking shark.
Lacey got me this.
Eventually, though, Finn beats Elias with a coup de grace.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Decent quality match.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff.
Next, Miz. Miz Taraj comes out, distracts Finn.
Yeah.
Miz attacks him from behind. Elias gives an interview backstage. During this match.
He's so good, man.
He's good.
He's so good on his interviews. Mm-hmm. He's so flipping good. He said, I'm going to move on and give the greatest performance on the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania. Oh, I love Elias.
Towards the end of the match, Balor, tired of the Miztourage, messing with him,
mm-hmm.
does like a surprise plancha onto him.
I did not see that coming. I was stunned.
Yeah, that was
holy
great.
Crap. I was like, because he ran the ropes and he thought he was going to just bounce off and attack the Miz.
So he ducks under and then does a plancha or something like that,
and
right?
The camera was on a long shot, so it's not like the camera was following him and you were expecting. Sometimes they telegraph it with TV direction. The camera was a long shot and you just see Finn like fly full speed out of the ring over the ropes.
Yeah.
And lands on Miztourage.
Oh, so good.
Oh, man, it was so good. He's mm-hmm. so flipping good.
Mm-hmm. Finn goes up to the top rope for a coup de grace, gets distracted by Miztourage.
Mm-hmm. Takes out one, takes out the other.
Yeah, Miz pulls him off the top rope, giving the skull-crushing finale, gets the win.
Yeah, they're booking the skull-crushing finale pretty strong these days.
Well, kind of, not really.
Well, not against, like, I mean, try hitting the... If Miz is going to take on Braun at WrestleMania, he's got to figure out how to hit that on Braun.
Well, he did in this match.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Man, I missed that one.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But
I do remember that. No, oh, yeah, that's right. That's when he kicked out and like threw him out of the ring.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
So Finn.
It just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, Finn, though, you know, I guess he'd already been wrestling for a good half hour at least.
Mm-hmm.
So one skull-crushing finale could do it.
Yeah.
But we've seen in recent weeks where like Roman Reigns kicked out with one skull-crushing finale.
Yeah, I know. I want them to book Finn a little bit stronger.
Same.
I was hoping he would go a little bit longer.
Same. So the last matchup was Miz.
I really like this though. So after Miz eliminated Finn, I like this, and it's also ridiculous that Miz wouldn't realize before he even entered the match.
I know at first he's all celebratory,
and then he starts to realize, and it's a great job. Hey, kudos to his acting coach, and he's been through, you know, he's been in a bunch of movies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the look on his face and the crowd reacting to the look on his face. All was fantastic.
The whole crowd was chanting Strowman,
and he hears them and starts going. It's like, who did you expect was going to come out, man?
Just think about it. Who hasn't been this match yet?
Yeah.
It's Braun.
Braun's music hits.
Braun.
Just that big screaming Braun and the big drum. And then the Miz's face just was like, oh, this is going
to
hurt.
Tries to run out of the ring.
Yeah.
Braun chasing them down.
Spritz. The most terrifying sight. And I love it because at this point they start referring to Braun as a bear.
Yeah.
As a big, fast grizzly bear.
Yeah.
And it's so apropos because bears are really fast.
Yeah, they can be.
And that's always scary to me. Like the fact that, you know, you think of a giant bear probably lumbers around. No.
No, you got a 1,000-pound beast that's running after you.
like Usain Bolt speeds.
Yeah, right.
I think they can go like 30 miles an hour.
Ready to tackle you. Yeah.
Wasn't that like Usain Bolt's like fast at his fastest?
Something like that.
He was like 30 miles or 28
can a bear
miles an
really
hour.
Run 30 miles an hour?
Oh, I don't know.
That seems a little fast.
They can go pretty. How fast?
Yes, please check.
I will.
I'd be more than happy to be surprised by the blazing speeds a bear can run.
A polar bear can run 25 miles an hour.
Okay. What about a grizzly?
Well, that's got to be around the same as a grizzly bear.
Well, I mean, like they're. I don't know if they're.
30 miles an hour! Right, I was right. Oh, my God.
Good job.
I remember that from something. I don't remember
what.
Man, that's a Usain Bolt. How what's the fastest Usain Bolt?
Okay.
28. So a bear is faster than Usain Bolt.
That's impressive.
Although I do remember this. I actually read this.
What?
That in theory, the fastest humans could possibly run is 40 miles an hour. Like, we could still get to 10 miles an hour, like, muscular-wise.
Yeah,
science
has
said that we could actually, like...
That's the most our body can withstand, probably.
Prime human could possibly run 40 miles an hour. I think Braun was, like, eclipsing that. I think he was, like, 45. Because he looked like a car.
I know.
Chasing after the Miz. It was fantastic.
It was great. Catches him, gets him back to the ring, get a Finn Balor interview where he's like, Oh, Miztourage. I'm so angry, but... At Elimination Chamber, it'd be no Miztourage because Finn and Miz and five other people would be locked inside the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Miztourage stuck outside.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this right now. What do you think the odds are we're going to get Miz Braun or Miz Finn?
It's got to be Miz Finn.
Yeah.
It has to be Miz
Between
Finn.
All their Twitter back and forth.
This makes all the sense in the world. Finn Balor is winning Intercontinental Gold at WrestleMania.
Or he's not and going to SmackDown. Or he could and still go to SmackDown.
Who's got the U.S. title right now? Could they do a switcheroo?
Bobby Roode does. Yes,
they could.
Oh,
they could do a switcheroo. They should do a switcheroo.
Mm-hmm.
Turn Bobby heel.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, just turn him heel.
Mm-hmm.
We won't want that.
Now, Raw's lack of heels would be helped greatly when Samoa Joe gets healthy.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So, which could, in theory, be any day now.
Yeah.
Or any week now. Anyways, Miz does hit a skull-crushing finale.
Is this true? Alex C. in chat said they found fossilized footprints in Africa that they reckon prove the 40-mile-per-hour theory due to the space between steps. Spoiler alert, it was in Wakanda. It's actually Black Panther did that. Fantastic movie. Go check it out.
Miz does hit Braun with a skull-crushing finale, but Braun kicks out like 1.5 and just tosses Miz out of the ring into the Miztourage.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Miz eats power slam. Braun wins.
Yeah.
Braun gives an interview where he's both terrifying and extremely charming.
Oh, my goodness gracious. How does this man do both at the same time?
He does the Braun deep wrestling man voice.
Yeah.
But then pivots so quickly to charming Braun.
Yeah.
He says, now if you'll excuse me, Charlie.
Now excuse me, Charlie.
But it's his normal voice. It's a shoot voice.
Now excuse me, Charlie.
And so he says, I got some business to take care of. And walks down the ring and power slams everybody again.
The crowd goes ape when he said, I've got some business to take care of.
I know.
Yeah.
But he said, Braun, I'm coming, or Brock, I'm coming for you. He called him Beastie Boy.
Yeah, I don't like when people do that.
Says he's going to win Elimination Chamber, go to Mania, beat Brock.
That was a pretty powerful statement.
Do you think they could do like a fatal four-way?
I'm not going to read too much into it. They should.
What if they do Brock, Reigns, Seth, Braun?
Oh. I mean, would we then declare the Roman Reigns experiment dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, huh?
Even if he wins, yeah.
Yeah, right, because they're not going to, yeah.
Like, I understand they want to have, I'm sure Vince wants to get this done. They want to have Brock Reigns 1-on-1, but I still think if they got Seth in there, it would still, in terms of the symmetry of the storytelling, work.
And, I mean, Roman brought it up during his
yes.
His thing, yeah.
Yeah,
his interview.
I think it would work.
Yeah.
If they're worried again about, I mean, Roman's going to win. If he's in that match, he's going to win.
Is this going to be 20 years from now? Like why did we never get Hogan Flair at WrestleMania? Are we going to be thinking,
maybe.
Why do we never get Roman Brock at Mania?
1-on-1 after 1-on-1.
Yeah.
I got to think they're just going to follow through and just get it over with.
I would think so.
But
What would Seth and Braun do? I mean, one of them could be in the Ronda Rousey match.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. I guess, you know, we'd heard Seth versus Kurt Angle maybe.
Yeah, I think after last night, he's too big for that now.
Yeah, I know.
Although Kurt Angle could still go.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. Like, Seth, how is he not, like, in a main event picture right now?
I know.
How is Braun not in a main event picture? You're right. That makes all of a Roman, Braun, Seth. Who's Finn. The other guy? Finn?
Mm-hmm.
No, not Finn. Finn, Miz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the Fatal 4-Way. Seth, Roman, Brock, Braun. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
But then when Ambrose comes back, he's another top-of-the-card face.
Yeah. I wonder where he's going to be put. Wrestling-wise, he just can't. I don't know.
No,
I know there's a lot of Ambrose fans out there. I like Ambrose. I mean, I've liked Ambrose
in bits and pieces.
I don't dislike Ambrose. Yeah. He's just not as good a
wrestler as the other guy.
He's not as interesting a wrestler as the other
guys.
No,
he's not. He works a fast pace, and that helps him.
You know what would help him? Because here's the thing. I totally believe that if you would have put Ambrose in the Seth Rollins spot last night in the Gauntlet match, he would have gone. It would have been great for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? He needs. That's the thing about Ambrose. They need more passionate performances given to him or opportunities given to him where he mm-hmm. can show that because mm-hmm. he can do that.
Yeah, he doesn't get pretty many opportunities.
His character feels like it's on cruise control.
Yeah.
You know? That's my problem with Ambrose. They never really give him. I hate Mike. This freaking computer kills me, dude. They never really give him any meat to chew on.
They haven't for a long time.
Ever since like Brock Lesnar wouldn't play with him.
I know.
You know, because that could have been great.
Yeah, I know. If Brock was interested,
when Brock would beat him up and he would say, "Come back, come for some more."
Yeah,
that was really fun, and they didn't do it. And Brock wouldn't, according to Dean.
He just wanted a squash match at Mania to collect his paycheck and be in the ring for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So Braun picks up the win, wins the Gauntlet match.
Mm-hmm.
So he's obviously not going over Elimination Chamber.
Right.
Roman most obviously will.
Yeah.
Unless something changes between now and Sunday. Major.
Well, this would be the case of like the math really working out because like Roman looked the worst.
I know.
Pretty much out of everybody.
I know.
He got beat by a lazy roll up.
I mean, I think right now, just based on Raw, it seems pretty obvious who's winning all the chamber matches. Let's get to that later, though. Let's talk about this Jeff Jarrett Hall of Fame video package.
All right.
Bring up your notes. I want to hear your analysis, Steve.
All right. So here's the thing. First off, we got, number one, this broke on
NBC Sports.
Yeah, Monday morning?
Yeah.
Is that right? Or was it Sunday? Monday morning. Yeah.
Usually announced on Monday morning.
We had heard rumors of this.
Yeah.
Rumors have been out for like a week or two.
Yeah, from PW Insider. Meltzer mentioned it in the latest Observer newsletter.
So number one, I mean, congratulations to Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
It's great. He recently went through rehab.
Yeah.
Apparently on the WWE's dime.
Sponsored, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Does this put to rest the rumor brought up by, I think, China, or the allegation brought up by China in her autobiography that Jarrett held Vince up for additional money to job to her at that pay-per-view at, what was it? No Mercy
99, I think.
Right. Because his side of it was, it was literally my last day at the in the company. They would have no reason to pay me the money that I was owed. I simply went in there and said, before I do this, I want my money. I want to make sure that I'm solid.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
if he has leverage saying that he's not going to drop this title before he goes because he believes he's owed money. I mean,
yeah.
That's a negotiating tactic.
I would think that would be probably. I wouldn't surprise me if it was true.
Yeah, it wouldn't
if
surprise
that
me
was
either.
The case.
Yeah,
it's a sexier story. Him saying, "Give me more money, or I'm not going to do a job to a woman." You know. that being said, I always loved China. After that, said he came out from the office and said, "Let's." He said something that was actually kind of charming. It was something like, "Let's go get you. Let's go make history, sweetheart," or something like that. And it was actually kind of a charming thing.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Xavier Woods on Twitter saying, congratulations, Jeff Jarrett was the first guy who got me a spot on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And because of that, the WWE saw me and I was able to get my opportunity.
See,
with
here's
them.
The thing. We neither of us are exactly Jeff Jarrett fans. And we've talked to a good share of crap.
He was literally on our list of people who would never make the Hall of Fame.
I know. But at the same time, I think everybody loves a good redemption story.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, and you know, many people have said that Jeff Jarrett never drew a dime in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's true as a main eventer, but that's not to say he didn't have a really good career.
He had a fantastic career. And you can't fault a guy for taking opportunities and doing whatever he could with them. Mm-hmm. He just, in my, as a fan of the product, I always saw him as the guy who had like no charisma.
Yeah.
At least as it showed up on the TV screen.
Yeah.
A lot of people say he's like a swell guy.
Did you ever watch Spring Breakers? He was in that for a little
no,
bit.
No, I didn't.
He was actually pretty good in that.
Was he?
Okay. Not that much.
Yeah.
But he's pretty effective.
All right.
Believable.
I kind of, it's interesting though, because Triple H's tweet about, and this is what kind of bummed me out about the video package and why it was bizarrely underwhelming. Triple H said something along the lines of birthed into the business.
Yeah.
And the second part, I think he said something like he's given so many opportunities to people around the world.
Yeah.
And that, oh, here we go. Not only led a decorated career, but created opportunities for new talent around the world, which I don't think can be debated. I think that's true.
Not at all.
I think
that,
from
yeah.
Xavier Woods' tweet alone, you can
just think of all the careers that took off from TNA.
I know.
AJ
like,
Styles,
look
Bobby
at the
Roode,
top of the line.
Samoa Joe.
Exactly. Yeah. And
you
so
go on
that,
and on and on.
That can't really be debated.
And it, if you just look past, I mean, if he hadn't been pushed as a main eventer in WCW, I don't think he would have had the reputation of he never drew a dime anywhere. Because
right.
he would have been a really solid mid-card champion in several promotions.
I know.
And that's a really good career.
Yeah. It's just he was the guy from like a fan, like being a fan back then when he had, and they showed that in the video, when he had like the Intercontinental and European Championship, I would just always think to myself, I would so much rather see that on other people. I just would rather see another. The thing that bums me out about the video, and yeah, I took detailed notes on the video. The thing that bums me out about this video was that it didn't reference any of the shit that he did to help other talent outside of the WWE.
It almost entirely focused on his time, pretty much just his time in WWE up until he went to WCW
yeah.
and became a main event guy.
It was hugely underwhelming. So it starts out with his WWF intro, which was horrible. It was like, hi, I'm Jay. It was like, it looked like at like a...
From Music City.
Yeah, Music City Hall or something like that.
The
or
Hall, the Country Music Hall of
yeah,
Fame. Yeah.
yeah, something like that. And he's just like, hi, my name's Double J.
That's
J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T. Exactly. But you just said it with about 50% more charisma than he did. He was like he was sleeping through it. Hi, my name's Jeff Jarrett. That's double J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T. You're getting used to that name a lot, double J. Double J-A-E-V. And they did that like multiple times through the video.
I know.
They had, of course, the sincere guitar kick in with some Double J pyro. We had a voiceover from Lawler from the Attitude Era saying, Double J, ain't he great? But it was kind of in the same manner in which he's talking about cleavage. It was at Lawler. It wasn't like, you know, wow, this guy is really great. Cut to Roman Reigns, and he says, he was able to take that confidence, that arrogance, and make it flashy, and some people didn't like him, but he didn't care about that. If you actually listen to what they say, it's not the like the biggest point that all these interviewers or all these interviewees are making is that people didn't like him, but he didn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if they were talking about personally or professionally, yeah, in the words of Eric Bischoff. Cut to Michael Cole. I don't think it was Michael Cole's wife. I think it was somebody else's. Said Double J is the ultimate entertainer, and then it cuts to Double J saying, "Ain't I great?" And it's the thing that I remember about Jeff Jarrett is that when he would talk, nobody cared.
No.
That was the thing about as the character when he was out there talking. And again, this is separated from the person, from the businessman. As the character, nobody ever cared. And that was the thing about him that I always took away. And that's really surprising to me about this video is that they were trying to like make it out like he was some great character. And he just wasn't.
I know. Like that this period of WWE... Especially before he started breaking guitars on people.
Yeah.
He had the longer hair and
yeah.
really ridiculous
Oh,
outfits.
That was the worst.
Yeah, and that's what seemed to be the focus of this.
Yeah, I know. And he came out, I think it was, I don't know which time it was.
He went back and forth several
times. He went back and forth a couple times. And one of the times, it was like 97, he dropped this promo when he came out. It was like early 97, I think. And it was so underwhelming. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be like a controversial shoot
yeah,
style
I remember
thing.
That, yeah.
And half of it kind of felt maybe shoot-ish, and but the crowd was like, oh my, so dead silent. there was no, like, nobody was acting like, oh my God, he's saying this stuff. I can't believe
it.
And it's not remembered. Like, nobody really ever talks about it at all. The only reason I knew about it is I think I was looking up something random. By the way, this is a complete aside. Who is it? OSW Review?
Yeah.
They reviewed Sonny's porno.
Oh, dear.
It's amazing. It's so funny, their rundown of it. It's great. You should check it out. Anyways, Dolph said something about Jeff Jarrett having the glow-in-the-dark glasses and the big, pretty strut, which is the Fargo strut, which Ric Flair did.
Yeah.
I never understood why Jeff Jarrett adopted the Fargo strut after Ric Flair basically immortalized it.
I know.
He said, and then Kofi said, yeah, he's strutting around like he owned the place. Natty then kicked in and said he was a loudmouth wannabe rock star. Again, I'm not sure how.
Not exactly praise.
Exactly. Then we had Double J in various promos talking about how great he was at everything in a voice that was not convincing at all.
No.
Then they cut to, they shifted then to a higher tempo music, and it cut to them talking about his WWF Intercontinental run and then mixed in with some of his WCW stuff. Road Dogg said Jeff Jarrett is on the list of greatest IC champions.
Well, he held the belt a lot.
Numerically speaking, I think that's correct. And he, I mean, if you take the greatest bit out of there, he is on the list of IC champions. So that is factually correct.
Yeah.
Cole mentioning he's a 6-time Intercontinental champion. JR mentioning that Jeff Jarrett has won 2 titles where it shows him with an IC and the European title.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just sort of hogging.
And even before his time in WCW and WWE/WWF, he was huge in his dad's territory, won like 50 belts there.
In his dad's territory.
No, I know, but I'm still saying.
My dad probably would have booked me strong if he was a wrestler.
Oh, I don't know. I know your dad.
Let's see here. Well, I'm a safe bet. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I guess that's
I'm not
true.
Sure anybody else would want me.
Yeah.
So that's why.
But he might just do it. Might not just do it. Just to rib you.
Oh yeah. No, my dad would totally keep the belt himself, or he'd put it on, like, on my kid or something. Let's see here. Again, Kofi. His job was to get people to hate him, and he definitely succeeded in that.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true.
That is true. A shot of Double J putting Ben Stiller in a figure four. Oddly enough, there were only 2 guitar smashing shots during this entire video.
Should have been a lot more.
That should have been half the video. Just, and there was none of him hitting Beetlejuice, the little dude. There was none of that. That was like probably the greatest moment in his career, to be honest with you. Or like when David Arquette helped him win the title.
Yeah.
And then once again, we get to wrap things up. Double J once again. Don't forget, Double J, double E, double F, double J, double A, double R, double E, double E, double T. And then he says, and I'm going to leave you with 3 words. Ain't I great? And then it cuts back to Cole.
Never heard the word slap nuts in the entire thing.
No! It was literally the best-selling shirt that he had. Didn't say slap nuts once. Like, and everything actually great about Jeff Jarrett was left out of this video.
Hold on. Remotely good. Don't say great.
Anything remotely memorable about Jeff Jarrett or any of his actual accomplishments was left out of this video. Why didn't they interview Xavier Woods? He actually has something good to say about Jeff Jarrett, and not just he wanted people to hate him, and they did. That's what I took away from this video.
Yeah, I know.
He really tried to get people to hate him, and they really did.
Yeah. Maybe we should call it Jeff Jarrett Heat.
Jeff Jarrett. There you go. Jeff Jarrett Heat. Anyway, I know. I don't like calling it X-Pac Heat anymore. I like X-Pac.
Congratulations, Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, this was the best part of it.
What?
This was the best part of it. When they come out of the promo, maybe it was one of the Cultaholic guys. Maybe it was some random person, I forget who, on Twitter mentioned this. And I watched right after the promo. They cut to the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Half-assedly kind of clapping.
And this woman.
Front row. A lady turns to her man and says.
Who's that?
Not just who's that. Who the fuck was that? Clear as day drops the F word. Like, you don't hear it. But you see it come out of her mouth. Who the F was that? Oh, I was dying because I didn't notice funny. That in the Twitter video, but when I watched it on TV, who the F was that?
That's funny.
And he just looks at her with a confused look on his face, and then they cut away to the crowd.
That's funny.
It was pretty awesome. Anyways, yeah, congratulations, Jeff Jarrett.
Yes, congratulations.
It's gonna be it's gonna be a good look. He's just coming out of like rehab or whatever.
Yeah, who's gonna induct him? I mean, obviously, the answer would be Vince Russo.
Yeah, he's not, it's got to be Vince
Russo.
He's
not going to be welcome back at WWE anytime soon, you would think.
No, he's not.
So
it really should be Vince Russo.
David Arquette?
Sure.
I don't think they're going to acknowledge that, though.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, look, it would be great if it was Xavier Woods.
What? Yeah, that would be great. Didn't Cornette manage him for a bit?
Did he?
I thought he did when he came in one of the times.
Oh, maybe. Cornette did a lot of weird stuff in like the 96, 97 days.
Yeah.
He was bringing in like NWA people.
Yeah, that's what it was because I think Sharon was NWA champion at the time.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I'm trying to think who else. Yeah, Xavier Woods would make a lot of sense.
It would. I mean, you know. It
depends on the focus of the narrative they're going to put forth about his induction. Is it developing and giving new opportunities or new talent?
Well, that's the one that they should go with.
Oh,
not what we saw in this video.
I agree.
And it's like, dude, I understand. Okay, you can't really show you literally can't show TNA footage. I don't know. I mean, let me ask you. What?
Austin says, what about Elias? Since they have a guitar gimmick.
I that's so superficial.
No, I know, but give Elias an opportunity.
Look,
good opportunity at the podium.
Anytime I see Elias, I'll be happy.
Chris K says Road Dog.
Oh, that's a good one. That's mm-hmm. a great one.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because he was the roadie.
He was the roadie. That was a great one.
Actually, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it probably will be Road Dog.
Probably. AJ Styles. I mean, look, any of the TNA guys would be great.
The only problem is would Vince acknowledge TNA to that degree?
I mean, they are kind of running into that problem right now. I mean, couldn't they spend like... The problem is they need footage. If they're going to acknowledge that stuff that he did...
Oh, they're licensing footage for Impact, I think, for a Hardy thing.
Oh, really?
I thought I heard that, yeah.
Do it for Jeff.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah. Sergio Impact, C says Steve Austin.
Oh, he hates him. He hates Jeff Jarrett. I don't know if like recently, but I heard a couple stories about like... I think Vince Russo said that... The scaredest he ever was backstage was when Russo was trying to book Jeff Jarrett to like win over Austin like one time or something like that. I forget what the exact story was.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
But I think that stems from Austin's time in the USWA. I mean, Austin seems to have mellowed out a lot since then, so it wouldn't surprise me that's water under the bridge, but that would be hilarious. And yeah, he is the first member of Bullet Club.
It's true.
I was trying to think because Haku's not in. Haku's a member of Bullet Club, but mm-hmm. he's not in the mm-hmm. Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. But Jeff Jarrett is. I was trying to think of anybody else like a weird fringe member.
No, I think.
I mean, if Hogan had only been cool with taking 100,000 to show up at Wrestle Kingdom to be Bullet Club, he would have been the first member of Bullet Club in, but Jeff Jarrett.
Milk Queen says, wasn't Double J making the Broken Universe stuff purposely complicated for WWE last year? He was doing that to Matt Hardy.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Okay, so.
Have Matt Hardy induct him.
I haven't noticed if Matt Hardy has said anything about
I haven't noticed either.
Jeff Jarrett. But yeah, it is. I mean, for a couple different reasons, it is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't even thought about that. That is fairly recently.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just the last year.
Wow.
I mean, maybe it's one of those things where, you know, Jeff Jarrett ran into those personal issues. I don't know who made the connection, whether it be WWE or him.
This is funny. Is somebody going to comment on this? Austin Loof, did Jeff and Angle ever do anything together? Yes, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of issues in this that make it kind of complicated.
Jeff stole Angle's wife. Oh, man.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, my God. So yeah, Revy Hardy. Yeah, Milk Queen. Revy Hardy has some words, I'm sure.
Yeah.
This is bizarre.
We can definitely strike names off the list of people who won't be inducting him. Kurt Angle. Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Strike those off the list.
People who oh, man. Inductors. I did not see Jim Cornette's tweet. Sorry, we're just talking to people in chat now. Oh, man. That's
hilarious. I was
wondering
like, who made the connection between either WWE or Jeff Jarrett about the rehab situation. Because I've heard before that WWE will pay for rehab for not only current talents, obviously,
oh,
but past talents.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
For Scott Hall's rehab at least once, if not several times.
I wonder if they
reached out to him or vice versa or what exactly happened. But I wonder if without that, if he'd be
Oh, I doubt it. I think that was probably the connection.
Catalyst, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was probably the connection there. That's so funny, though. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah, let's get back to
Raw. This is going to be a long show.
Yeah.
The funny thing is there was like one match for 2 hours, and it's going to be a long show for us.
I know. Next, we had an Asuka interview, which I thought was good.
No, I thought it was great. I know some people were like, being annoying and saying, because like her English isn't like, a million bucks, but I thought it was great, man.
You know what? She communicated what she needed to communicate. There was passion, intensity behind it.
I love it too, because here's the thing, like, she's charming as hell.
Heck yes.
She's charming as hell. And so there's, to me, there's like an added bit of, I don't know, personality in the fact that, she's got a, it's not perfect.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I like that. And the crowd eats it up. And whatever asshole in the crowd is chanting what, you can go F yourself.
Yeah,
because that's
exactly.
Passion
and intensity and genuine, trying to instill some genuine meaning into what you're saying goes a long way.
I know, exactly.
And she did that incredibly well.
Yeah, like try going to freaking Japan and speaking the language. Like they're completely, it's not like, Spanish where half the words are just, virtually the same thing as what we speak.
Yeah.
Try doing that for a second before you start chanting what at somebody. Mm-hmm. It's
rude.
That's crap, dude.
It's crap. Don't do it.
But no, I loved it. And then Nia Jax tried to attack from behind.
Asuka sees her coming, but in the end, Nia Jax gets the upper hand. Samoa drop, three leg drops?
Yeah, man. She was doling out those leg drops like they were Jeff Jarrett guitar shots.
Asuka's definitely going over at Elimination Chamber.
Oh, big time. Absolutely. But it's going to be an interesting match. I know. I don't know where we're going to differ at Elimination Chamber. next up, Sheamus and Cesaro versus Apollo and Titus.
Yeah, Titus Worldwide.
Apollo no longer has the last name Cruz.
No surname.
I don't like that. I don't know why. I mean, I know like the WWE has a history of getting rid of, for example, it's not Antonio Cesaro.
It's just Cesaro.
It wasn't Adrian Neville.
It was just Neville.
It's not Elias Sampson.
It's just Elias.
It's just Elias.
What is it just going to be Finn?
Oh, that's no good.
Or Rollins.
Well, that's how we have it on WeBook Raw.
True.
It's just Rollins.
Reigns.
Yeah, Reigns. Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Scott.
It doesn't do it.
Scott Dawson.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Wilder. Jax.
Bob.
Rude?
Yeah. Okay. Randall.
Oh, yeah, that was another one. What was it? Alexander Rusev? Was
yeah,
that
his just name? Rusev. Yeah, Machka.
No, yeah, this is Rusev. English.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But then it was Charlotte. That was her name when she got brought up.
They added the Flair. But yeah. Flair is a special thing.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Anyways, how many matches is this that Titus World?
Three.
Why do they not have the titles? Why have in none of these matches the titles?
Why
are they
going to title shot at Elimination Chamber?
Okay, they're going to lose that. That's annoying.
They're going to lose.
I might call that as a win for them.
For Titus Worldwide?
Maybe. Come on. They're going to lose again. Yeah, no, you're right. We're coming up to WrestleMania.
Yeah, T-Bar's holding those belts till Mania.
Give me a break. Have them like win it the second time and then have T-Bar win it back this time or something.
Oh, I agree. That'd be great.
But then they got to have their Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
No, I agree. If Titus Worldwide beats him twice, then the third match needs to be a title match.
You would think if they beat him once, the second one would be a title match.
Yeah, you'd think so. So they should have won the
title.
Were
any of these title matches and they won by DQ or something?
No. It was all roll-ups.
Oh, my gosh.
So they should be the champions now, then have the rematch Elimination Chamber.
Where T-Bar wins them back.
And then T-Bar gets them back, yes.
Well, that's annoying.
Apollo rolled up Cesaro.
And I love at the end when Titus Worldwide was celebrating and Dana Brooke, who's like my favorite thing now, starts like pointing at her statistics saying, I knew it.
She had the algorithm.
She has the algorithm. Next up, we had
one of those intercut Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy promos.
Bray Wyatt, my favorite thing about this is like, for whatever reason, I actually paid attention. Bray Wyatt, the very first thing he said was something akin to, "These are bad things, man," or something like that.
Bad times, something like
these
that.
Bad times, or something bad is about to happen. And I was like, yeah, this freaking promo and this whole program. Get to do some film stuff.
I know. Do something interesting.
Just do something. Be new.
Be new.
Wear a glowy thing around your neck. Next up, we had Sasha Banks, Mickey James, and Bayley versus Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Alexa Bliss. Holy crap. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville wearing that matching Absolution color themed stuff. They look like $1 million.
Give us a tag division.
Give us a women's tag division right now, please.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in the iconic duo.
Yes.
There are so many great. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Dakota Kai, for example, in NXT. Just bring her up, put her in a tag team.
Yeah, her and Bayley.
There you go. Her and, oh, perfect. Her and Bayley. Who would want to see that in a tag team?
That'd be great.
I'd love that. Anyways. So, yeah, this was. There was one spot I couldn't get off my mind, and it kind of ruined the rest of the match for me. Was Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose and Bayley kind of botching the head scissors thing in the corner. And she sort of threw Bayley down, and Bayley looked like it actually hurt or something. And maybe she was probably just doing a good sell job because then she got up and she was running around a bit more. But, man, it looked nasty.
Well, she didn't. Bayley's legs didn't get on.
Didn't get all the way up on her shoulders.
And so it was a little awkward moment of trying to figure it out, and I think they just, or Mandy Rose at least, just said, okay.
She just sort of threw her down.
Yeah.
But it was kind of stunning, and I was like, oh, that was bad. And then, like, I just was looking for sloppiness after that for some reason.
Yeah.
And it kind of sullied the match for me.
Yeah, yeah, no, I thought the same.
But I like the end. I mean, the end.
Alexa Bliss passes out to the bank statement, and then Absolution goes in the ring and starts attacking everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stare down between Alexa Bliss and Absolution. She's saying, no, don't attack. They do. Mickey James comes in for the save, and her and Alexa Bliss double DDT Sonya Deville, I think.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. I mean, interesting little dynamic between Alexa Bliss and Mickey James. I kind of like that. It is, and people pointed this out, and I do kind of agree. It's Paige coming out with Absolution still. It's a reminder that it's just a bummer every time. You know, I wish that they would address
something. Unless they're just really holding out hope that somehow, some way, she will get cleared. But if it's WWE's own doctor saying no.
Yeah. Saying that you should never do this again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, maybe the rumors are wrong. Maybe they're wrong. Hopefully they're wrong. They have been before.
Yep.
So anyways, let's answer some questions.
Yes, let's do so.
Oh, wow, we're already an hour deep in the podcast.
Cool.
Oh, extra money. There we go.
Question.
Oh, by the way, if you guys want your question read on the show, oh, I'm going to break just because every once in a while there's like an extra special question that I might notice on Twitter. And somebody hit me up this, and I do want to get your thought on this.
All right.
Oh, there were two things. Number one, Brian Zane retweeted this tweet from @TheDoubleJ because it made me laugh. Here's the scenario. Jeff Jarrett takes the podium at the Hall of Fame. Thank you, Shelton. You know, they used to call Shelton the gold standard.
Oh, yeah,
you know what that is?
I saw that.
Gold is a money-making opportunity. The lights dim, and Jarrett takes out a laptop and hooks up to a projector. Let me tell you about gold. That was funny. I like that.
That was funny.
Great tweet. And then there was this question here from Pete at the Mayor Pete. Not a knock on last night's Raw because it was entertaining, but if you reverse the order of matches in last night's Raw, does it become a better show if the gauntlet match ended the show? I say no, but it's a good question.
It is a good question. I agree with you.
Because it kind of ended a bit on a limp with the Mandy Rose sloppiness a little bit. However, kicking it off, I always prefer a strong kickoff.
Yeah, same.
Over a strong finale.
And I think also, too, if you look at the ratings breakdown, generally the third hour performs the weakest of the 3 hours of Raw. So that's why a lot of times you'll see Roman Reigns open or close the second hour.
Like
that, because I think in some ways they consider that the main event of the show because that's kind of ratings, generally speaking, are towards their highest.
Yeah.
They fall off pretty significantly in the third hour unless you got something major going on in the main event.
Yeah. But just the pacing of the show, I felt really was like that gauntlet match. It was so shocking to be like an hour into the match and only three guys deep or whatever.
I know.
It was like, oh my God. And you realize you're getting something special and the crowd's really into it.
And I think that's a better way to start the show. I mean, if you start that hour into the show, you might have already lost some audience members.
It's going to feel like a slog.
Yeah.
Also, the match, because you're starting to realize around like the third hour, okay, well, this is probably going to last the entire time.
For example, you'd be kicking off the show with a Double J Hall of Fame video package.
Right, exactly.
You're going to lose some audience members there.
You're going to, yeah. Exactly. Anyways, we'll get to our questions. If you guys want a question read on the show, $1 a month and up, yes, on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. That's where we get our questions from. First up, Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion, asks this. When Nia loses to Asuka, what do you give the odds that she will force her way into the chamber a la Edge? You think Nia's going to say, I'm not finished?
Depends on the order of the matches.
Yeah, okay.
Like if the Women's Elimination Chamber kicks off the show, then obviously not.
Mm-hmm.
If she loses to Asuka first.
If the circumstances are correct, do you see it happening?
No.
I kind of don't. I think...
Unless she takes somebody out.
Do you still see Nia versus Alexa Bliss at Mania?
How about this? Here's an idea. Alexa has been putting in a lot of time trying to forge a relationship with Mickie James.
Yeah.
What if before the chamber match, say that goes on third to last, or second to last, or last, I don't know. But it goes on after Nia Jax's match against Asuka, which Nia loses. Backstage, Nia beats the heck out of Mickie James,
mm-hmm,
takes her spot in the match, and so you have this dynamic of Nia and Alexa Bliss, who have been friends, both on and off screen. But then you have Alexa, which they haven't really touched on camera, so probably won't happen. Alexa trying to forge or reforge a friendship with Mickie James, maybe Nia having a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I'll say this. I don't know what the odds are. I mean, my gut says not very high.
Yeah, I would say very high.
However, I would love for something like that to happen because you don't often get very many storyline twists and turns in the women's division. And I feel like that's one thing it kind
of
needs.
I think especially this show where it seems a lot of the outcomes of the matches are pretty predictable.
Yeah, and the relationship dynamics between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss and then Mickie James, that's something that could be fun to play with.
Yeah.
You know, you need some twists and turns there.
Exactly. Unretired Dwayne Nix. There's rumors floating around that we could be getting Balor versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Strap at Mania. If Balor wins the IC belt, who would be some wrestlers you guys would like to see Balor defended against, and how long of a title reign do you see him having?
I think it wouldn't surprise me if he had a title reign that lasted up until him getting back into the main event scene.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Balor versus Seth would be great, but Seth is going to be contending for that Universal title.
Yeah, I think
after
he
Mania.
Is. I think he is too.
The match last night was good. Balor versus Elias.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. Elias is kind of the natural first guy after Miz, if that were to be the case.
Balor Joe.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be really good. Balor needs to pick up some wins against Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He really needs that.
Mm-hmm. Who else is kind of in the mid card?
Yeah,
field?
I know. I'm trying to think. There isn't much of a mid card.
Mm-mm. What if after Thebar drops the titles at Mania, Sheamus takes a break? We get Finn versus Cesaro.
Oh, who wouldn't want to see that? That'd be great.
Are we finally getting to see the culmination of the Finn Bray Wyatt feud? What everybody wants.
Yay. Oh, yeah, there you go. Finn versus Matt Hardy.
Yeah, Jonathan Reiner. Are Gallows and Anderson officially faces? Also, what do you see being done with the Raw tag titles at Mania? I mean, it's got to be the Revival versus Thebar, right?
Yeah, that has to be.
That has to be
I feel like Revival has some good momentum on their mm-hmm. sides. I think the club are probably just like biding their time until Finn gets that IC title and they're just hanging out with him.
I feel like they'd put them together and then they really had no plan what to do.
At some point, does Finn just say, guys, I'm dealing with the Miztourage out here. Can you come out here and help me out? That would be real.
Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster, what are you guys going to do with the current space once the office is set up? I'm pretty sure I could use a place to stay. I'll work.
Man, Alex Foster is not. My wife already has plans for this space. It's going to be half her sewing room and half Alabama's room because we got too many kids in here. We got too many people taking up spaces. Alabama doesn't have her own room yet. We have her toys in the entry room. She sleeps between me and Lacey. This is going to be her area and then Lacey's sewing area. So sorry, Alex Foster. You're out of luck.
Kevin Mack asked a question that we already discussed. Who do you think should induct Jeff Jarrett into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. We already talked about that.
Nathan Raglan, create the perfect gauntlet.
Hold on. I like this.
What?
Nicholas Grothkirth responded to that. He says, I like AJ or Joe to do it. A quiet way to nod TNA. That's not a quiet nod to TNA.
It's pretty overt.
Yeah.
Nathan Raglan, create the perfect gauntlet match with any wrestler ever. Would include Michaels, Austin, Strowman.
The perfect gauntlet match.
AJ, well, HBK, Rollins.
HBK starts it off.
HBK and Rollins start it off.
Ooh, that's good.
Just trying to think of guys that could really go.
You know what I'm going to do? So
Kenny Omega.
AJ and Rollins started off. You know,
they go an hour.
You know who... yeah, they go an hour. You know who ends it? You know who comes out last? Bret Hart.
Oh, dear. Rest holds. You have HBK, Rollins, Styles, Kenny Omega.
Bret Hart.
Finn Balor. Steamboat.
Oh, yeah, Steamboat. That'd be good.
And then Ric Flair could go. He had a lot of long matches. I want like an Iron Man gauntlet match.
I mean, here's the thing, man. You want to go back. So you have to go back to like Farmer Brown.
Bruno, he was in an 81-minute match.
That's what they said last night. That's right, yeah. So Bruno, Farmer Brown, Lou Thesz, I'm sure he had a lot of long matches. You like old guys who
I
could
saw
go.
A clip on Twitter of a Lou Thesz Buddy Rogers match where Buddy was running the ropes. I don't know if he was selling.
Oh my God!
He looked like he was about to fall over at any second. He was running so fast.
They looked like the Young Bucks, man.
Yeah.
They were going so fast.
I mean, Lou Thesz was powerbombing people back then.
I know. We got to dig out some old.
Oh, heck yes. Black and white.
Lou Thesz matches. Yeah, dude. There's no copyright on that anymore, man. It's too old, so we can get away with just doing like some old-timey reaction stuff.
This is a good question. Austin Luff, longtime listener, second-time patron. With Dana's comments about the seventh man in the chamber, if you could add a seventh woman to their chamber match, power rank who you'd want to add from NXT, main roster, so on and so forth.
Either Kairi or Shayna. They're my two favorites right now.
Kairi's
so good. She's such a good damn wrestler.
Candice LeRae.
Oh, that'd be great, too. That'd be good. Oh, I love Kairi Sane. She's so good.
Yeah, she is good. Bronze grappling hook. What superstar would look the weirdest without a beard?
Oh, Elias. Did you see that picture of him? Like, with the really short.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a good looking guy.
And who?
He's such a weird looking guy.
Who would look weird with a beard like Bronze? John Cena.
You're right. He is made to be like smooth faced.
Yeah. Said, today I decided not to shave. I'm going to apply that same philosophy for the next 6 years.
Today I've decided not to.
However, shave. I will put oil in it, keep it well trimmed and combed every day.
Every day. Let's see here. Yeah, Wayne Dorsey. He's beside himself about the name of the knee also.
Oh, the Revolution knee?
The knee's landing, the knee, the ripcord, and now it's called the Revolution knee. That's like the worst of them all.
Just call it that cool knee.
Ripcord's a good name. That cool knee, the knee. King's Landing's a great name.
Oh, that's the name of one of Ricochet's moves.
Oh.
Would you say King's Landing or Knee's Landing?
Oh, Knee's Landing would be great.
That's good.
Yeah.
Custard Cannon, Jared Ellis. With the contract signing of Ronda Rousey coming up, reports say the WWE has interest in signing Gronk. Power rank top five athletes you like to see make the jump to WWE. Number one, LeBron James.
Oh, number one. Number one through five, LBJ.
Heck yes, man.
Man, that dude, he is the man.
He is. He is awesome.
He's great. He's so good.
All right, LeBron, one through five. I'll say Giancarlo Stanton, baseball player.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's massive.
Okay.
Him or Aaron Judge. They're both really large, muscular. They could probably do well. Oh, D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, my God, yeah. He actually knows how to wrestle really good.
Yeah, he was really good.
That'd be good.
Yeah, LeBron, though.
Oh, LeBron's the best.
Yeah, dude. He is.
He's so good. He'd be dominant, too. Let's see here.
Well, that's an interesting question. Dalton, longtime listener, first-time patron here. With the competitive nature of Seth and Roman's interactions lately, would you want to see a best of seven between them?
I'm a fan of best of seven, so
yes, man.
I would absolutely
get that
like
universal
to see
title
that.
In play, too.
But then, like, the finish of match seven would be just a roll-up. It'd be like a five-minute match. It'd be a roll-up. Let's see here. The Slow Wolf. The top-notch super beast Slow Wolf.
Yeah, good question.
WWE comes to you, which means Vince comes to you.
Yeah.
And asks you to book a six-man ladder match for the Cruiserweight title at WrestleMania. Yeah, point of the sign. With four members of their current roster and two surprise entrants from any promotion. Who do you put in the match?
Well, you got people who are officially on 205 Live now. You put
Mark Andrews is on 205 Live officially. He's on the roster page.
Saw that. So you put Cedric, Mustafa Ali, Roderick Strong. You want Mark Andrews in there?
Oh, man. Hold on a second.
Drew Gulak.
You're just going too fast.
No, those are the three gimmies right there.
This is a ladder match. Give me Mark Andrews.
All right.
I don't know about... So, look. I don't know what Roderick Strong could do in a ladder match. I'd have to watch a ladder match.
All sorts of backbreakers off of
Insane.
Ladders onto ladders.
All right, Roderick Strong is in.
You have Cedric in there.
All right, you'll put Cedric in there.
You got to put Mustafa Ali in there.
That's you've already used four, man. Can we slow down a second?
Imagine an inverted 450 off the top of the ladder.
What about Tony Nese? Can we just stop and analyze this before you start?
No, I think three of those four are pretty obvious. I'd kick Mark Andrews out before I'd kick Mustafa Ali.
The man has an airplane on his pants. He's number one.
No.
Number numero uno.
No, give me Mustafa Ali over Mark Andrews.
Oh, you've gone crazy.
No way.
All right, so there's our four from 205 Live.
All right, fine.
Wow. Did you see Jack Gallagher? He said he might bring back his gi.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like pajamas. Okay. Two others from other promotions. Man.
Joey Janela. He do some crazy stuff.
They wouldn't. I don't want to see a man die. I'm afraid to watch any Joey Janela match these days.
I know.
Because every gif I see is like, oh my God, dude, stop it.
What about Sammy Guevara?
Oh God, get out of here with that. Oh. Oh, Sammy Guevara.
Trevor Lee.
Oh, I love Trevor Lee. But Sammy Guevara at WrestleMania in a ladder match? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man, that'd be good.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
How about
Joey Janela?
Trent.
Oh, man, I don't want to see that.
He got busted open the hard way at the last
yeah.
PWG show.
Yeah, ease up. Relax, Trent.
No way, man.
Oh, dude, what about the ticking time bomb?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that, too, but he said indies. So I just,
oh, indies? Okay, all right.
New Japan out of it.
All right, that's fine.
Oh, no, he said any promotion.
Any
okay.
promotion.
Yeah. Takahashi, then. That'd be great.
Oh, man. But, dude, okay, here's the thing. If Vince comes to you and says, money is no option.
No object.
Is no, I'm sorry.
Money
is no
option.
Money is no object. Yeah, Steven Larson earned the match then. Money's no object. How do you not say R4 plus the Young Bucks?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it right there
because
you're just showered with praise.
Yeah.
Everybody loves you. But if you take the Bucks out of it. If you take him out of it.
Oh, dang. I didn't know this. Steve Klein. Hey, friend. It was announced on Valentine's Day that my fiance and I are getting married by Chris Jericho on the cruise in October.
Whoa!
That is awesome. Congratulations.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
She was saying that she wants Kenny Omega to give her away, and I would want Ricky Steamboat to be my best man. If you can have a wrestling-themed wedding, which wrestlers would you want to be your groomsmen? Who would be your best man? Who would give your bride away? And who would be officiating the ceremony?
Oh,
that is fantastic.
Man, that's amazing.
That's incredible.
That's so cool. I love our friendos get to do cool things.
I know.
It's always so much fun.
All right, so groomsmen.
Oh, man. How
many? Who'd be the officiant? Who'd officiate the wedding?
Well, I would have Elias playing the thing.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. But, like, he'd have a promo beforehand.
But I'd have Aiden English. Sing.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
I'd have Rusev be my officiant.
He's your officiant.
Yeah.
Holy cow. That's how do you top that?
Best man, AJ.
Best man is definitely probably eight. Although, now that I'm looking at that chair over there, I wonder how Dean Ambrose is with bachelor parties.
Because
I feel like
good.
AJ, like, you're probably going to end up playing video games, which is like, we did that at mine.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like Dean Ambrose, especially in character... Because I feel
everybody
like you do some weird stuff.
Giant cowboy hats.
Yeah, giant foam cowboy hats. Remember that workout video that Dean Ambrose did in the desert? Like, it incorporates some of that.
Yeah.
But then, of course, there'd be like a brothel involved
some
or something.
Morning yoga in the desert.
Exactly. But then there'd be like whole blackout phases.
I think he lives in Vegas, too.
Oh, there you go. Then Dean Ambrose is my best man.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
He's my best man.
Oh, Mojo.
Oh, God, that's scary.
Mojo.
That's scary.
He's not my best man. AJ's my best man, but Mojo's
definitely the guy planning the bachelor party.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great choice right there. Holy cow. Braun is in my, Braun might be my officiant.
That's a good choice. I thought about him too.
Do you think this man is garbage? No.
Would you like to say to this man, I'm not finished with you yet?
I'll never be finished with you.
Yes.
Those are all great answers.
We put the ring. Could you please now get these hands?
Who would give your bride away? Oh, man. I don't know if I'd want this for giving the bride away or for my officiant, but I kind of want Paul Ellering as my officiant.
Oh, that'd be good.
You've got the algorithm for love.
Successful marriage.
Oh, man. There are too many good answers for all these things.
I know, there are.
Who would give your bride away? If it's not, Ellering would probably be my officiant, and I think Braun would maybe give my bride away, because who's going to mess with that? Like, you want somebody who's protected.
Yes, exactly.
You know. Wow, so many great answers. But that's fantastic. That's really fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That right there gives me a reason why I might want to go on the cruise.
I know.
Like, I would actually do that for Steve Klein's wedding
more
than anything else. You'll have to look into that now. That'd be so special.
Yeah, that really would be. Nightcrawler, hey, friendos. So I know you guys always talk down on Jeff Jarrett, but in my opinion, he was one of the best B-player guys in wrestling history.
I think we did a good job today of outlining the goods.
Literally, I think if he was never pushed as a main event guy.
Yeah. Would he be on the list? Here's the thing. It's always funny. There's always people. So, like, we dog Bret Hart here and there, right?
Yeah.
If he was never world champion, he would be probably number one on the list of people who should have been world champion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'd be like, why was he never world champion? Then he was, and we dog him.
Yeah, I know.
Jeff Jarrett be on that list.
Yeah. Oh, he says power rank some of the other best B-plus guys in wrestling.
Oh, man.
So great upper mid-carders, mid-carders.
Razor Ramon, Rick Rude,
Hall,
Mr. Perfect.
All guys who could have been world champs in WWE.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, Roddy Piper, probably number one. I mean,
well,
he was
a main eventer.
He was a main eventer. I guess world champion isn't necessarily a prerequisite.
No, just guys who kind of lived in the mid-card.
I mean, Rick Rude was number... I mean, here's the thing, like, for a while...
Owen Hart.
For sure. For a while, like, main eventer of WCW was... the equivalent to upper mid card in WWF.
I know, as we saw with Jeff Jarrett.
And Rick Rude. Yeah, exactly. Oh, good question there at the bottom. CM Punk finds it insulting. What's the over under on how many finishers Roman will kick out of in the Elimination Chamber?
How many people are in the match?
Six, including him. I'm sorry. Seven.
I'm going to say five.
Whose finisher is he not going to kick out of? Bronze?
No, he's only going to take five of them.
Oh, he's going to take five.
He's going to kick out of all the finishers that are given to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, there's seven people in the match.
I'm not saying everybody's going to give him a finisher.
I'm saying
he's going to kick
out of
five.
Well, if you're saying five, that means one isn't going to give him his finish. Yeah. Who's it going to be?
Braun.
Braun, right?
Protect his power slam.
Braun, protect the power slam. Even though I feel like I could take the power slam and be totally fine.
Oh, he does it as gently as
possible. Those giant pillow arms of his.
Oh, man. Oh, this is interesting. The buff that runs the stuff. This makes three consecutive weeks with zero cruiserweight presence on Raw. Do you think separating 205 Live from Raw entirely is the right move?
Yes.
Or does it just make the show even more obscure?
I think it's a good move. People know enough about 205. NXT is never featured on a main roster show, and it's consistently like one of the top rated shows. 205 Live needs to build buzz, and I get that doing it on Raw is one way to do it, but they've never been able to do it effectively.
Yeah. They always had like tag team showcase matches on Raw, or generally that's what they did, and they never quite worked.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing they don't want to incorporate storylines too stringently on Raw for fear that people might miss something. I don't know.
Make it its own. I think they've done a good job over the past 2 weeks of making it its own thing.
We've always kind of had different approaches. Like, I think there should be more crossover, and you think there should be none. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. I'm happy with the way it's been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, same here.
So...
All right, let's do one more question. We still got play per view to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, this is interesting. Alex C is real. With all pay per views becoming dual branded, and therefore spots on the card becoming harder to get, is now the time for WWE to bring a cross brand trios title? What potential teams would you like to see?
Yes, I'm a huge fan of that. I would rather see a women's tag division, though.
Yes.
I kind of take issue with the idea that the pay-per-views are going to be... I think the WWE has been skewing more towards on the non-Big Fours, and obviously not Survivor Series, they've been going more towards multi-man matches anyways. And if they're expanding the lower pay-per-views to 4 hours, even if they're co-branded, I kind of feel like everybody's going to get their their shake.
And they still have TV time, hopefully, on Raw and SmackDown to build, you know, build yourself up the card.
And I suspect the if they're going to have a four-hour pay-per-view for, like, let's say, Backlash or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They might have plenty a two-hour kickoff show to feature those people. I think it's probably much ado about nothing.
All right, pay-per-view time. Should we do some Elimination Chambers? I'm going to do SummerSlam 2003, I think.
So what is pay-per-view, Larson?
We quiz each other on the results of old pay-per-views.
That's actually the perfect summation. Very good. You're doing 2003?
SummerSlam 2003.
You're doing SummerSlam 2003?
Elimination Chamber match, then. That's what they said during commentary last night. Yes. I have 8 matches. Or I can do 7 since one was on Sunday Night Heat.
All right, keep that up. I'm going back in time.
It's a long show. I'm pushing an hour and a half.
I know.
So we're doing a gauntlet show.
All right. Did we do an Elimination Chamber one last week?
I don't remember. Probably. Do you like Elimination Chamber 2012? I know we didn't have done that one.
Okay.
And I don't know it that well.
I'll just do it.
I might have just swerved you, Steve.
I think I'd remember.
No, I know we haven't done it for the show. I think I've seen 2012. But that doesn't mean I remember anything about it.
All right. I'll just... How many?
I have 8.
8? Jeez.
Why would you have?
Hold on a second.
You don't have to do Elimination Chamber match. You can do whatever you want.
I know I can do what I want.
Do a War Games match. That's kind of like Elimination Chamber.
You're doing SummerSlam. What was
2003.
What was the second Elimination
Chamber? This is the second Elimination Chamber. The first one is Survivor Series 2002, I think.
What's the fourth Elimination Chamber match?
I don't know.
List of
Elimination
Chamber.
We're going to be here all day. I'd like to eat lunch at some point.
Elimination Chamber matches. All right, here we go. perfect. Okay. I will go with No Way Out 2008.
All right.
Here we go. And I've got, perfect, 7. We can do 7.
Cool.
Okay.
I will start.
You start.
La Resistance versus the Dudley Boys in a tag team match for the World Tag Team Championship.
Who came in as champion?
La Resistance.
Was it SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Oh, Dudley Boys.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
La Resistance? This was not one of the Dudley Boys' many title wins?
Yeah, nope.
All right, here we go. In a singles match.
Singles match.
The gold standard himself, Shelton Benjamin, took on the Monster Kane. Who won?
Shelton Benjamin.
The Monster Kane.
Earn it. Next, False Count Anywhere match between Eric Bischoff and Shane McMahon.
Ah! Shane McMahon.
Yeah, put a finger up.
In a singles match for the ECW Championship, the champion, Chavo Guerrero, took on challenger CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Wrong.
Wow.
Somehow Chavo Guerrero won in 7 minutes.
Fatal four-way match for the United States Championships. Chris Benoit.
Who was champion?
Hold on, I'm getting to it.
Oh.
Chris Benoit, Tajiri, Rhino, and the champion, Eddie Guerrero.
What year was this?
2003.
Benoit, Rhino, Guerrero,
Tajiri.
I'll say Benoit won.
Nope.
Guerrero retained?
Yep.
Man.
We're not doing too well.
Next up.
Next.
The actual one, the Elimination Chamber match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Um. Oh no. This was an Elimination Chamber match for a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship at Mania.
Gotcha.
And it featured Big Daddy V, the Great Khali, MVP, Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another guy they took his name away from. Batista.
All right.
And
The Undertaker.
Batista.
The Undertaker.
Oh, damn it. I should have thought about that more. A singles match for the WWE Championship. Kurt Angle, the champion, versus Brock Lesnar.
When was this? SummerSlam?
Yeah, 2003.
Say Brock.
No.
Kurt Angle won?
Yep.
Who won at WrestleMania? Oh, Brock won at Mania.
Yeah.
Damn it. Idiot.
Neither of us are doing very well.
I have one.
I have zero.
In a career-threatening match.
Oh, no.
Ric Flair versus Mr. Kennedy!
Career-threatening match?
I guess, yeah.
Isn't that a retirement match?
I guess.
Ric Flair.
Yeah. Very good, because you know that Mr. Kennedy did not retire.
No.
Ric Flair.
Next. Rob Van Dam versus Kane, no holds barred.
RVD versus Kane, no holds. I'll say RVD won.
Nope.
What the? Do you have one? Yeah, you have one.
I have one. Yeah, I have one.
In a singles match for the WWE Championship. Here's a toss-up if I ever heard one. Randy Orton, champion. John Cena, challenger.
Wait, who was champ?
Orton.
Randall versus John.
Yeah.
I'll go with Randall.
No, John Cena won.
Lol, Cena
won. Toss up.
Really is.
God, we're terrible at this.
Yeah, man. Main event, Elimination Chamber match for World Heavyweight Championship saw Shawn Michaels versus Goldberg versus Kevin Nash versus Randall Orton versus Chris Jericho versus the champion, Triple H.
HBK.
No, Triple H retained.
God damn it. All right, here you go. Your one chance to beat me. Elimination Chamber. And this is for a shot at the WWE Championship at Mania.
All right.
JBL.
All right.
Uma.
Wait, which title? World Heavyweight or WWE?
WWE.
Okay.
JBL.
Yeah.
Umaga.
All right.
Chris Jericho. Shawn Michaels. Jeff Hardy. And Triple H.
We'll go with Triple H.
Very good. You win, you bastard. Two to one.
I'm the man.
Anyways, we got to get out of here. We got so much to do. Hilton's back from the All-Star game. Great job, Hilton. Wondering why he didn't hop in there when Fergie was eating shit.
Hey, man, she took a risk. Didn't work.
I know. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you fail in life. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
It didn't work.
We're still recording.